This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala sharafil anbiya'i wal mursaleen. Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam tasliman kathiran kathiran. From Mabadu, my brothers and sisters, this is the seventh lecture in the series called The Way Forward. And I will try to sum up the things which I have been talking to you about. And at the end of this, give you a very short, brief list of what I think needs to be done. Those who are interested in actually doing something will have to then work on that and develop it further and see where they can make the best impact. What distinguishes people who never experienced subjugation from those with a collective memory of empire and subjugation is their willingness to speak up, fight for their rights, and to pay for what they enjoy, while the others only complain but do nothing to change the situation. This is the learned helplessness. I call it learned helplessness. It's part of mental and psychological conditioning. This is the learned helplessness of people whose bodies are free but their minds remain enslaved. To own responsibility for our destiny and work and pay for what is important to us is a sign of a free mind and emotional maturity. The solution to the cop-out of globalizing is to localize. If you can't feed 100, feed 1. Ask, what can I do? And then do it. Because when we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu, we will not be asked what happened. We will be asked, what did you do? The Arabs of the Hijaz in the 7th century were not subjugated to any empire. They had no king. They did not even have a supreme chief. The millionaires used to meet in Mecca in a hall called An-Nadwa to decide on emergent issues. They didn't have a codified law or a judicial system. They had no rulers and they bowed to no man. That is why it was easy for them to accept responsibility for taking Islam to the ends of the earth. We all know this hadith. Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu reported that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ordered us to act to stop injustice. Change it or speak out. The third option that he gave us is actually a reprimand. It's not an option. And Abi Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, من راى منكم منكرا فليغيره بيده فان لم يستطيع فبلسانه فان لم يستطيع فبقلبه وذلك اضعف الايمان او كما قال عليه الصلاه والسلام. He said, whoever among you sees evil, let him change it with his hand. If he cannot do so, then with his tongue speak out against it. And if he cannot even do that, then with his heart, meaning hate it in his heart, which is the weakest level of faith. Now this was the speech of a man free in body, mind and spirit. A man who was subjugated to nobody but Allah. And he told us to take charge of our lives, stop blaming others and work to make things better. Today, our biggest challenge is to reboot our mindsets and to learn to think about the community as one, the entire Muslim Ummah as one, and work together to change our lives and destiny. Each of us must learn to pull his weight and not wait for someone else to bleed for us. Muslims are 1.1% of the population of this country. There is no way that any Muslim can ever get elected to the Congress or Senate unless others, people who are not Muslim, vote for them. The only way for that to happen is by winning hearts. Our isolationist way of life is suicide. But what do we do about winning hearts? If we want to be taken seriously, we must stand for elected office at the local, state, and national level. Ask how many Muslims are mayors and aldermen and state senators and on school boards. Yet we complain that nobody cares about us. Are you surprised? We must encourage our youngsters to make career choices that are different from what they do today. We don't need more Muslim doctors and Muslim engineers. We need more Muslim senators and reps. The two paths are different. We must support our youth by working with them to build credibility and by setting up an endowment fund to support their choice of career. We must accept that only we can save ourselves, and we ask for the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But sadly, we hate anyone who tries to awaken us from our stupor. We will not invest what is necessary to change our situation and are satisfied with doing at least something. Sorry to disappoint you, at least something is not from the Quran. It is not the Sunnah. It is not what the Sahaba did. It is not only useless, but worse than useless, because it gives a false impression of action and success. It takes the edge off the pain, which is necessary to motivate us to do more than usual. It will take us to the tipping point. It will never take us to the tipping point. And so the scale will never tip for us. We must check what is necessary and do that completely. If you are jumping and leap over, if you need to clear a 10-foot trench, you must leap 10.5, 10 and a half feet. If you leap 9.5 feet and say, at least I did something, you will be speaking from the bottom of the trench, bottom of the pit. That is the truth and you know it. Therefore ask, if not now, then when? If not me, then who? There are three major changes that happened after the end of empire and the rise of nation states as we know them. One was the creation of the middle class. There was a middle class even in the times of empire, but it was not at the same level and not as influential and politically powerful as it is today or as it is after the end of empire. There was a middle class in the ages of empire which was restricted almost purely to commercial and material areas, not to the areas of administration and the areas of political influence. Now, this was the result of two things: the end and demise of nobility and class hierarchy, and the rise of egalitarianism and free market economies. I know much can be said about the defects in all of these, as can be said about any human enterprise, because only the work of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is perfect. But defects and all, these changes gave political significance and opportunity to the common man, to the common person. That is the single biggest change from the days of empire. For the first time, you didn't have to be born into a royal or a noble family to have a say in public affairs. You could be from any background, but if you managed to get elected to office, you could make laws and change the path of destiny for populations. Therefore ask, what can I do to get there? It is a numbers game. You need critical mass to tip the scale. And so the sooner we start, the better. Rasulullah ﷺ did three things when he came to Medina from Makkah. He created a nation based on faith and not lineage or tribe. He created a source of funds and he created a structure of leadership. For example, he said, narrated Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, Rasulullah ﷺ said, a Muslim is a brother of another Muslim, so he should not oppress him, nor should he hand him over to an oppressor. whoever fulfilled the needs of his brother, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will fulfill his needs. Whoever brought his Muslim brother out of discomfort, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring him out of the discomfort of the Day of Resurrection. And whoever screens a Muslim, meaning covers up his faults, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will screen him on the Day of Resurrection, on the Day of Judgment. In another hadith in Bukhari, this is from Bukhari, another hadith from Bukhari, narrated Muawiyah bin Suwald, radiallahu anhu, I heard Al-Bara bin Azib, radiallahu anhu, saying, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam orders us to do 7 things: to pay a visit to the sick, to follow funeral processions, to say to a sneezer, may Allah be merciful to you, if he says, praise be to Allah. If he says, Alhamdulillah, you say, Ya Rahmakallah. 4, to return greeting. Somebody says, Salaam Alaikum, to say, Wa Alaikum As-Salaam is wajib. 5, to help the oppressed. 6, to accept invitations. Of course, obviously, goes without saying, it has to be an invitation to something which is halal. And 7, to help others to fulfill their oaths. If you reflect on these and many other ahadiths like these, you will see how the emphasis is on being together and not falling into divisions. We must learn to live with differences and disagree without being disagreeable. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu, he revealed and said, وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا وَاذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ إِذْ كُنْتُمْ عَدَاءً فَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِكُمْ فَأَصْبَحْتُمْ بِنِعْمَتِهِ إِخْوَانًا وَكُنْتُمْ عَلَى شَفَا حُفْرَةٍ مِنَ النَّارِ فَأَنْخَذَكُمْ مِنْهَا كَذَلِكَ يُبَيِّنُ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ آيَاتِهِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَهْتَدُونَ. Allah said, and hold firmly to the rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and do not be divided. Remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's favor upon you when you were enemies. Then He united your hearts, so you by His grace became brothers. And you were at the brink of a fiery pit, and He saved you from it. This is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes His revelations clear to you, so that you may be rightly guided. And then He said, Jalla Jalaluhu, إِنَّ هَذِهِ أُمَّتُكُمْ أُمَّةً وَاحِدَةً وَأَنَا رَبُّكُمْ فَاعْبُدُونَ. He said, O prophets, indeed this religion of yours is only one. This ummah, this brotherhood is one, and I am your Rabb, so worship me alone. And He said, وَإِنَّ هَذِهِ أُمَّتُكُمْ أُمَّةً وَاحِدَةً وَأَنَا رَبُّكُمْ فَاتَّقُونَ. He said, surely this ummah, this brotherhood of yours is only one, and I am your Rabb, so have taqwa of me alone, meaning be concerned only about my pleasure in everything that you say or do. And Nu'man bin Bashir radiallahu anhu narrated that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the example of the believers in their affection, mercy and compassion for each other is that of one body. When any limb aches, the whole body reacts with sleeplessness and fever. Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu reported, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever prays our prayer, whoever does salah with us, faces our direction of prayer, who faces our qibla, and eats our slaughtered animals, they are Muslims under the protection of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Thus, do not betray Allah in the matter of His protection. And this is in Bukhari and Muslim. They asked him, who is a Muslim? This is his description. The one who prays our prayer, faces our direction of salah, meaning the Qibla, the Kaaba, and eats our meat which we slaughter. Rasulullah ﷺ built an egalitarian society based on the brotherhood and equality of humanity and Islam, with differentiation only in terms of knowledge and piety. The second thing that he did was to create a revenue stream for the nation, and that was initially zakat and later a share in the ghanima, in the spoils of war. A reliable ongoing source of funds is essential to plan for sustainable development. Sp- sporadic charity is not good enough. Finally, he created a structure of society based on pious leaders following the book of Allah, the Kitab of Allah, and the Sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu ati'u allaha wa ati'u rasula wa ulil amri minkum. فَإِن تَنَازَعْتُمْ فِي شَيْءٍ فَرُدُّهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ ذَلِكَ خَيْرٌ وَأَحْسَنُ تَأْوِيلًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, O you who believe, obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and obey the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and those in authority among you. Should you disagree on anything, then refer it to Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you truly believe in Allah and the last day, this is the best and fairest resolution. So meaning that obey rulers, obey scholars, obey people of authority among you, only as long as they obey Allah and His Rasul. Also, do between yourselves, do that which is right, as long as that is according to the Kitab and Sunnah of Islam, Kitab of Allah and Sunnah of Moses, of Rasulullah. If there is any dispute, then go back to the Kitab and Sunnah. Rudduhu ila Allahi wa Rasuli. Go back to Allah's Kitab, Book of Allah and the Sunnah of Rasulullah. So therefore, in any of our discussions and debates and arguments and dialogue, if there is a text, if there is a hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we don't supersede that. If there is a text which is a direct instruction and order of Rasulullah, we don't supersede that. We don't go around that. We don't try to, interpret that to make it compliant to our desires. We don't do any of that. We stop with the Book of Allah. We stop with the Sunnah of Rasulullah. In the light of all that I have said here, what we need to do is six things. Number one, decide to take charge of our lives and understand and accept that it is a long-haul generational project. The change has to begin here and here, in our heads and our hearts. Without that, nothing else will work. We have to decide that this is ours, our house is on fire, we have to put it out, and this will require constant and consistent effort spanning generations. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His help. Number two, make istighfar and tawbah and seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help in the hajj. Nothing changes until we change ourselves. We cannot be living lives which are based on haram income. We cannot be eating haram. We cannot be dressing haram. We cannot be talking haram. We cannot have an whole environment of haram. We cannot have our entire economy based on haram. And then expect the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to come for us. It will not come. So we have to make istighfar and tawbah. We must drop things. Drop the haram from our lives. If we are serious about the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And seek His help in tahajjud. Make tahajjud farz on yourself. Put this head down on the ground and cry before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number three, learn to live and let live and agree to disagree, but work together towards common goals. There are differences among us. Those differences will remain to the day of judgment. So leave what is between the person and Allah to Allah. How somebody is praying, what they believe, what they don't believe, leave that to them and Allah. But there are many issues which concern our daily lives. Issues of an economic nature, political nature, domestic nature, educational nature, all kinds of things where we all have the same problems. We have to learn to leave those differences aside and work together to solve those issues. Number four, establish a think tank for scenario planning and strategic action. Number five, create a common fund. And as I explained to you, by each Muslim contributing $5 per day. That's all it takes, $5 per day. Every Muslim. Number six, create a leadership structure at local and national levels to focus on to establish world-class schools with an Islamic ethos and culture, to support youth to enter law, journalism, politics, judiciary, executives, and academia, especially in the area of law, media studies, and political science, establish chairs in universities for these things. Number three, entrepreneurship development. Create a venture capital fund to help startups. And number four, a strong presence in the media, a strong presence in media of different kinds. I want to close with a poem called I Don't Wish. This is my gift to you for the year going forward. I don't wish for peace, but for justice. Because without justice, peace is only a recess between walls. I don't wish to win land, but to win hearts. I don't wish for sympathy, but for courage. I don't wish for plenty, but for generosity. I don't wish for revenge, but for forgiveness. I don't wish for wealth, but for contentment. I don't wish for ease, but for strength and steadfastness. I don't wish for beauty, but for character. I don't wish for luck, but for curiosity and imagination. I don't wish for popularity, but for true friendship. I don't wish for a long life, but for a legacy of honor. Because what matters is not a good beginning, but a good ending. Wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin. Wa salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.